connect signals and slots in your source code. I'm going to show it soon after. So I'm saving this form into my project, and name is my app base dot UI. Yep, and you're good to go. So go to my app dot h. Very innocent looking C++ class, and I'm going to transform this as Qt style. So what I'm going to do is just first include, when UIC compiles the UI file, it'll create UI underscore my app base dot h. It's a C++ representation. So my class will inherit from also the class has UI underscore prefix. And you can, when those first two buttons are clicked, I need to do something. So I need to define some my slots. First one was calendar, so I'm going to I want to see today's calendar, raise today. And second one, I want to create new task. That. And so it's now it's Qt, utilizing Qt API. So it has slots, which is a Qt thing. So when compiler is compiling, we need to tell the Qt build system that it's a Qt and it has slots. So to be able to do that, we need to have Q object. Any class in its Q object can have signals and slots. So I'm just telling the system that. So it's my class declaration. So we've done that. Yep. And so we briefly talked about Qtopia service. It's using Qtopia specific inter-process communication protocol. So basically, it has channels and messages. You can send messages through the channel to a specific application. And Qtopia services on top of that Qtcop messages. So if your application does something interesting to other application, you can publish your service, and so other application can use it. So from this project, my application is consumer, and I'm going to use some of the provider's services. So next slide just explains how it works. Let's say two application has some sending mechanism, which is one first one is infrared, second one is Bluetooth, and some application wants to send some file or context or whatever. It looks up the services from the service framework, and then let's say, okay, I'll use infrared. Then the service name is the Qtcop service request object will send messages through application channel. The server will start the application if it's not running. So it's a big high-level picture of the service framework. So I'm going to do this in my .cpp class definition. Yeah. So here's when the first button is clicked, some clicked signal will be sent, and raise button will respond to that, which is sending basically messages over the server. But how do you connect those signals and slots here? This function is defined in Qobject class. So the first wedding calendar sends some signal, like clicked. Then my program slot raise to that A will respond to that. So this is how you define it. Oops. And similarly, when task button is clicked, I'm going to create new task. And one thing I need to remember is I need to instantiate those widgets that I dragged and dropped from the designer, and set up UI is a function created by UIC, user interface compiler, and it'll instantiate all the widgets and everything. So So I defined my class. It'll look like the user interface that I created. So go back to the slide. And Qtopia comes with a different flavor of execution model, because phone usually have limited resource. So how to start application quicker? So we have like single exec. Every application is just one huge binary. So it runs faster, but it's hard to, you know, add application. And another one is, you know, just separate applications. So it's hard to write main function starting point, because we have different flavor. So we have two macros that does all the magic. So Qtopia add application will add application to the server, so server knows what sort of application it has and how to start the application, things like that. So that's that. So I'll show you actually how it looks. The macros are defined in Qtopia application class. So just include that, and just Qtopia target is a it'll pick up its execution name, executable name, and in my app is the first class that has to be instantiated to, you know, show user something. And what I have here is also my app desktop. So you need to launch the application from the launcher. So you need some sort of desktop file. And it's very similar to desktop entry for desktop applications. So the name is My App Launcher. Very simple. So now I'm ready to compile and build and install and everything. To do that, I'm going to use Qtopia Make. With Qtopia Make, you can create make file independent to, you know, platform, my platform. So I'm going to call Qtopia Make project. Project file is something you need to build Qtopia application. It has all the install hints, like how are you going to install pictures or desktop files, things like that. So Qtopia Make dash project will create myapp.pro. Looks like this. Tells this project is about Qtopia and application. Target, the executable name is myapp, the name of the directory. And it tells you that it's using Qtopia macros, main macros in main.cpp file. And it's no quick launch. So it's just a standalone application. And I need to tell the build system to install my desktop files. So I'm going to create hints, the install hints, like what's called myapp.desktop. And path, where do I install it? its applications. So, and desktop hint is desktop file. And tell the system to install it. Okay. That was my project file. Now I need make file. So call Qtopia make again. Just call it and it'll read my app.pro and create make file. So let's see. Here's a make file. Yeah. And time to make. Okay, let's see. So I'm simply call make install, and it'll go to my desktop target directory. And what I need to do is using gph call rescan, so the system knows that there is a new application. Oh, okay. Actually, I forgot to show you how the QVFB looks like. Looks like this, just exactly. It's using a green phone skin, so it looks like green phone. And run QPE. These are scripts to start those tools. And this is a phone simulator where you can make like phone calls, see incoming calls. I will send SMS, stuff like that. And hopefully we should be able to find from my application from this application folder. Here's my app launcher. Start calendar. I see today's calendar. Task, create a new task. And that's it. Thank you very much. So I'll hand it to Sarah again.
All of your questions now, and we've got some URLs. I'm so shy. Obviously, your green card's there. If you don't have one, come down the front and grab one. Documentation, everything's up there. Also, Qtopia.net is our community support site. So we've got a bunch of retired musicians and other crazy guys waiting to, on IRC channels and stuff. We have a lot of pretty good support. And Min and our emails are there. And our HR person grilled me to add just a little emphasis. So we're just up in sunny Brisbane. So I'll come and work for us.
The only problem, isn't it? You'd be leaving Sydney.
Question here.
How does Qtopia differ from the standard Qt development environment?
It has all of the same development tools. So as you saw, we've got Assistant, and you can use the UI designer, or you can code your UIs up by hand. So all of those same desktop tools are there. The API is cut down a little bit. Some of the big heavy stuff like main widget, which is the kind of thing you use if you want to create a sort of a document based app. There's no room for a main widget on a phone, so some of those heavyweight things have been cut out. But basically, the programming experience is very similar to what you get when you're coding up a desktop application. On the back-end side, obviously, the windowing is provided by QWS, so you've got some limits there with the kind of graphics and stuff that you can do. But it's very similar, and we try to make much as easy as possible for desktop programmers to come in and create an embedded app on the phone.
So if you have an application already in Qt 3 state, for example, is it particularly difficult to port?
No, if it's in Qt 3, you'll have to port it to Qt 4 because there's quite a big jump between 3 and 4. In 4, they introduced a model view framework, so you get funky tree views and stuff like that. So once you get it running on Qt 4 for the desktop, very, very short stretch usually to go onto the embedded platform. More questions must be here.
What do you find your biggest problem is when developing applications for Qtopia?
I am trying to turn myself into half a kernel programmer. That's giving me nightmares. It's in the application space, it really is getting a lot easier.
The main things, like I actually do application development more than Sarah does. I find the main things are dealing with the reduced screen size and number of buttons. You have to really think a little bit more carefully about your usability. Do you need this feature? Don't you need this feature? And the other thing you have to deal with is the restraint performance requirements and disk I.O. Disk I.O. is quite a bit harsher than you might expect on the desktop.
Yeah, you can come up with a great app that looks fantastic running under QVFB, you know, on a grunty desktop chip, and then all of a sudden it's just crap when you get it on the device. So that is this tough. I'm mostly a systems programmer, and I did the security architecture for Qtopia, so my stuff's hiding underneath. Sorry, there was a hand here. Yep.
So how open is it? Could you intercept the calls, the incoming calls, the incoming SMSs, the direct audio access? Can you direct it to encoder or something? Could you program application like this? Is there an interface to the hardware, to the low-level hardware?
Well, you've got everything in Linux, and it depends on what kind of package you wind up getting. In the open source package, I'm not exactly sure what the latest release is. Basically, you've got all of the APIs. You've got the source to all of Qtopia, pretty much. I think, Rhys, the phone stack is missing. Yeah. Yeah, so you can compile against the phone. So in our stack, I sort of glossed over very quickly that architecture, that we've got our own AT-based stack for telephony, and for a bunch of reasons to do with telephony standards.
Can you actually say, okay, when the incoming call comes or incoming SMS comes, go and launch my application?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and the direct audio access, for example, I press the button and, okay, record call or something.
You've got access to Dev DSP and all the rest of it.
So in case of telephony, you can't directly access the modem because only one person can use the modem at a time, but we provide a server infrastructure on the phone where any application can talk via an API to the modem, and then we multiplex.
Okay, and they can send me the audio, which is now going in both directions on the voice call.
I'm unsure of the audio because I don't do that bit, but audio management on the phone is a bit odd at the best of times. Chipsets that you use on these things. Excuse me? Oh, with fax, you can make a fax call and you can get the data delivered to you, so you can do whatever you want with it.
Data calls and all that stuff should be able to be set up. Sorry, this gentleman.
Hi, Sarah. Hey. I was wondering, I saw in the presentation you had about using the server for Bluetooth. Is that working now on the green phone?
We had some hiccups with it, but I believe it is now working. I think the version that's downloadable doesn't yet have it in, but it should be very shortly. Yeah.
I was one of the very first screen phones, so I wasn't aware that there was different SDK levels. Mm. So what was in the most recent? Like, what don't you get as the hobbyist, and what do you get? Could you just clarify?
I think as the hobbyist, you get pretty much everything except the telephony stack, which I believe comes in binary. It's mostly about support levels. So if you're commercial, you get lots of ability to ring us up and or send us emails and hassle us for support. Yep.
Okay. So do you get kernel source for the
The kernel sources are available on Qtopia.net, and again, there's one or two little tiny bits that are the manufacturer of the phone actually wanted them made difficult to get hold of due to their IP reasons, as they want to do sometimes. But yeah, everything else is the 2.4 sources are all there. 2.4.19 it is. Sorry, this guy.
Yeah.
They have their own, they've heavily customized the top layer, and they have a thing called EZX, which they built on top of Qtopia. So that's most likely something they add. A lot of our commercial customers take Qtopia, and because it's pretty malleable, they can use that to get up to the kind of framework that they want. They can differentiate themselves pretty quickly, so it gets used up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Phone will come out and say, "Is that Qtopia?" No. Sorry, just this gentleman here.
Do you do any of the hardware work yourself, or is that just bought as a package?
We have a lot to say about what the hardware needs to do, but generally the hardware is supplied by a hardware partner. In this case, it was the Yahuatel Corp in Beijing, where we have an office. Sorry, it was you?
Yeah, so this phone in particular is a special phone because it gives you extra access to be able to program things. Normal phones, if they are running Qtopia, don't necessarily give you that. What's the sort of, like, is there a product timeline for more phones like this one to come out in the future?
We are thinking about Green Phone 2 or more green things. We're not sure exactly what they're going to be. Our marketing geniuses will no doubt come up with some fancy name for it. But absolutely. The main thing is that typically there'll be a whole raft of organisations involved in that whole, what's the word that we use for it? Value chain, I think. So you've got the hardware person, and then there's us, and basically this whole collection of people. And generally, especially if in the States, it's the carriers who are going to say, no, you can't open up the phone. Because we put this together ourselves, and you just stick your SIM in the back, we asked Yahuatel to make it, so we get to say, yeah, it's hackable. So that's the reason why it was made.
How much was the phone roughly retail for?
I think the sticker price for the entry level is
$700 or $699.
Yeah.
And discounts for the
coffee? Yeah, I believe there is going to be a development competition that we publicised on Qtopia.net, so keep your eyes peeled on that, and I think there'll be a number of green phones given away as a result of that competition. I think, how am I going on time, Mark? Yeah. A couple more questions in the back here.
Do you provide any sort of package management or upgrade pathway for the green phone itself, or is that something that the vendor?
As a matter of fact, I personally will be or am providing a package manager for the green phone. That's one of the things that it's about the only GUI work that I've done on the green phone. We have a system which is very roughly based on legacy interaction that Qtopia has always had with the iPackage format. Some of you guys are probably familiar with that from the OP and other systems. Qpackage also provides support for our security framework. So that packaging system will in the future provide for system packages, upgrading libraries and so forth. But it'll also provide a format where community developers can build a QPK file, put it up somewhere and make it available for download onto anyone's phone that they're running Qtopia.
Are you guys following the Open Phone project at all?
We try to be aware of what others are doing in the space. And you're talking about the Open MoCo? Yep. Yeah, it's. I think that validates what we've done with the Green Phone. I think we're doing the right thing. Sounds like they're doing some good work as well. I don't want to draw a lot of comparisons between the two projects because they're very different aims and ambitions. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I just wondered sort of how interesting LAP might be with the concept of producing basically firmware for an open hardware design.
Yeah, I think we've had to do a little bit of firmware stuff to get this thing out. We've had some problems initially, but generally we try to stick to what our best competencies are, which is the software stack. So I don't know how much more I can say about that, but yeah.
I was just wondering, what
methods have you got for delivering content to the phone, like updates or images or data from the general environment?
Well, the facility that will actually ship with 4.2 is the QPK packaging system, and in the future that will have the ability for system packages. But we don't at the moment have the ability for over-the-air flashing as such. That would depend a lot on the carrier and whoever it was that, yeah, whole pile of stuff. I think I'm just about out of time. Maybe one more question. No? Okay. Thank you very much.
Before we move back to the next one, I just want to make one comment. I think it's pretty impressive that you have a team of people coming out here and do a live demonstration in Jennifer work. I haven't seen many of them, so another round of applause.